This is Ross Johnston, and you're listening to Accelerate Alaska, where we explore the competitive advantages, the systems, and the industries that move Alaska's future forward. So, Ryan, first I want to say thank you for being a sponsor of Accelerate Alaska. So, Quirion helps companies with their big data problems. Like, what clients in Alaska do you work with and help manage their data?
We work with the Rasmussen Foundation. We manage a lot of their grant-making data systems. We work with United Way of Anchorage. As I said, we work with oil and gas. We work with some native corps that are doing large-scale operations. And occasionally, we'll even work with an interesting nonprofit on a somewhat charity basis.
How do you spell Quirion again?
So it's Query, Q-U-E-R-Y, and then on, O-N.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks, Russ.
Tickets are now on sale for the next Accelerate Alaska conference, keynoted by Brad Feld, who Inc. magazine once named the most influential venture capitalist. Get your tickets now by going to accelerateak.com. That's accelerateak.com. Did you know that Iceland gets over $3 per pound for their cod? And Alaska gets less than a buck. Iceland has found out ways of processing all parts of the fish. What more should we be doing here in Alaska? We join Craig Fleener on stage during the Blue Economy track.
I'm a very large proponent of Alaska. I was born and raised in Fort Yukon. I talk a lot about how we can grow our own economy, how we can be more self-sustaining, how we can do things on our own and stop being either owned or bought or borrowed or used or whatever really horrible terminology you want to hear when you're talking about the Alaska economy, because I think so much of the Alaska economy is not really driven by Alaskans. And it's one of the reasons that I see such great potential in the concept of the Alaska Ocean Cluster or the Blue Economy, because I think now is the time, and the future really is ours. If we choose to grab this thing and run with it, we can accomplish amazing things and be less reliant on people from the outside. You know, I often talk about Alaska being a colony. I still think we are a colony. What is a colony? A colony is a place where you go to get natural resources. You take those natural resources, you take them somewhere else, you develop them, you generate more income and more revenue out of them. And what do you leave back in the place that you've colonized? You leave a few jobs, you leave some money, but the majority of the wealth, the majority of the ideas, the majority of the brain power, it all comes from and goes somewhere else. And I'm not saying all that because I'm a downer on Alaska. I like Alaska. I was born and raised here. I think this place is pretty cool. I've got a few statistics that I'd like to share about Alaska and how wonderful I think it is. Alaska is a place for big ideas, and we have a whole lot of firsts. We have some great entrepreneurs and folks that have really stepped up and done wonderful things. Now, this has nothing to do with us, but Alaska is the biggest state. It was going to be the biggest state whether we were here or not. 663,000 square miles. We have the tallest mountain at 20,310 feet. We have the most lakes. Alaska's got 3 million lakes, more lakes than any other state in the country. We have the longest coastline. We have the biggest fisheries. We have the greatest oil and gas potential. We have the largest zinc mine, and we even have the most powerful governor in the country. That's a pretty big deal. All of those really wrap into what it means to be Alaska and why this initiative is so important. But our failing has really been too much reliance on government spending and too much reliance on a single sector of the economy that it's been really good for Alaska, don't get me wrong. We would not be where we are today if it wasn't for oil and gas. And so it's an important sector. Government spending has been really important for Alaska. The military has been important for Alaska. But if we're going to be successful as a state, we cannot simply rely on government spending and the oil and gas industry. It's a highly volatile, both of those really are highly volatile, not really very dependable. We've got to go and look at developing our own economy. That means each and every one of you who are from Alaska and who are working here and intend to stay here, that's me. Is there anybody else out there fit into that category? There's a bunch of you out there. So you all need jobs, your kids need jobs, and those jobs should be built locally. The money should come home, the money should stay home, and as a matter of fact, we should invest our money into other places instead of having folks all doing all the investment here into Alaska. So we've got to stop relying on this single sector economy. We need a strong and sustainable economy for Alaska, and it has to come from the blue sector. The blue sector is going to, we will develop the blue sector by forging partnerships, by creating opportunities with entrepreneurs, with science, with education, and visionaries. And there's lots of them in this building today. I've had great conversations with folks who are going to help us to make this thing a reality. One way that Alaskans are working to diversify our economy is with the Alaska Ocean Cluster Initiative, as Joel has already pointed out. And this looks at our potential and creates opportunities. And there have been some great opportunities that have already been created, and we're looking at creating more in the future. Ocean clusters that have developed across Europe have been really successful. They're mastering this potential. They are networking in innovation, creating economies of scale, and cooperating for success like never seen before. Iceland is the perfect example, and I have had the privilege of working in Iceland a lot, actually. I was the Gwich'in Council International representative to the Arctic Council and got to spend quite a few years traveling to and from Iceland. And what I found about Iceland is they're very much like Alaska. They're isolated. They had to, at least at the time I was traveling, it's a lot less this way now, but they imported everything. They relied on other folks. They have other governments sort of trying to control them and investments coming from places that you don't necessarily want investments, but you take them because what else are you going to do? So Alaska and Iceland actually shared a lot in common. And what I saw over time, as time went on, is Iceland taking things into their own hands and doing more. And the ocean cluster is a perfect example. Iceland developed this thing in 2011, and it has really taken off and has really been a success. And it's really changing how they do business. So their mission is to create value, to connect people, to share knowledge, and provide services. That all sounds pretty easy, but unless you have a core structure like the Alaska Ocean Cluster Initiative focusing on that, you're not going to pull it off. And probably the coolest thing ever is that their ocean cluster had one of the best goals I think I've ever heard of in my life, and that's a goal of no waste. Could you imagine the fish industry or any other industry that has no scales going into the garbage, no slime going into the garbage, no blood going into the garbage, no fins going into the garbage, no bones going into the garbage, using 100% of that? Now, they're not at 100% yet, but that's their goal. And they're getting really close. And that needs to be a goal of ours. And the reason for that is because we need to maximize the revenue that we're going to generate from our blue economy. So we can not only benefit the economy of Alaska, but so that we don't take more from the ocean than we need to. Participants in Iceland's ocean cluster say that it's created opportunities by opening doors that they didn't even know were there. And this is the big thing for Alaska. We have people scattered all over the state, innovators, people that are visionaries, very thoughtful about what they want to do. And it isn't that Alaskans don't like working together. We actually really like working together. The problem is they're scattered in these hundreds of communities around Alaska and they don't even know what other people are doing or other people are thinking. And what Joel and what Karen at BSFA are going to pull off with this thing is they're creating a mechanism to pull people together so that they can share ideas and so that they can build on each other's successes. And that, I think, is really fantastic. It doesn't happen in many other industries. And it really has been tough here because of competition and because of the business model we have and because of how people are separated across Alaska. I think this is huge for Alaska, and I think Alaska needs this. We have great entrepreneurship and innovation in Alaska, and too often the things that I've already mentioned, our size, the distance, the nature of business and competition, we often work in silos, and that limits our potential and creativity. But why does this all matter to you? It matters because the surface of the earth is 71% water. Most of that is an ocean. And Alaska's got an awfully giant ocean all the way around us. We have 5 oceans in the world, right? And them are untapped for the potential that they have. The ocean holds 1.3 billion cubic kilometers of water. It holds over 99% of the area that can hold in life forms. Let those statistics sink in for a little while and think how the world, how the country, how Europe, none of it, has barely scratched the surface. Clearly, we're relying on the ocean, but we're barely scratching the surface. Alaska hasn't scratched the surface. I think it's time for Alaska to start scratching. I think the ocean, if managed wisely, can basically be the global PFD. And we can provide a natural capital to the greatest wealth, the most reliable food supply, never-ending energy, entertainment, and jobs. The blue economy potential in Alaska is massive. Imagine food with less food land competition, clothing, oils, medicines. Are you aware that in the past 30 years, 20,000 marine biochemical substances have been identified? Very few from the Arctic and not that many from Alaskan waters. We should be involved in that. National defense, there's great potential for the Navy and the Coast Guard to expand in our part of the world. Minerals, oil and gas, even carbon sequestration potential to generate income for the state, and energy development with tidal, wave, wind, and oil and gas. And like I've said, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. Now, the ocean cluster concept is not new in Alaska. However, great strides have been made, as I said, with Karen Gillis and Joel, who just introduced me. We have to embrace this idea of the ocean cluster. We need to develop our blue economy, because if we don't, someone else will. And once again, tremendous wealth will be created from Alaska's resources by companies outside of Alaska, while we are sidelined with jobs, which are good, and taxes, which pay the bills, instead of ownership. But I think we can have all three. I think we need to have ownership, jobs. If Alaska is going to thrive and be self-sustaining, we have to decolonize. We've got to make products in Alaska, and we have to be more self-sustaining. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you want to see the presentation with slides and visuals, go to accelerateak.com. A big thank you to Joel Kladulis for setting up the Blue Economy track. Since speaking at Accelerate, Craig Fleener has taken on a new position as the Executive Director of the Alaska Ocean Cluster. I joined him at his office. Craig, thanks so much for joining me today. As the Executive Director, what do you see as Alaska's potential? Like, what is your vision for the Alaska Ocean Cluster?
So I think the vision for the Ocean Cluster right now is to create a multi-billion dollar ocean sector economy that grows Alaska, expands opportunities, especially for coastal communities that are broadly distributed and don't have a lot of economic opportunities. We want to tie them all together and create economic development across the state of Alaska. We would like to start generating enough revenue for the state of Alaska in the ocean sector to rival oil and gas and to rival other parts of the economy. So we have some diversity in the state's economy.
Wow. So that sounds great. So how did you get started with the Alaska Ocean Cluster?
So I think early on, I was very interested in what was going on with the Iceland Ocean Cluster. And when I say early on, I mean like the late 90s, all the way up until through working for the state of Alaska. I should say I was more interested in what was going on in Iceland in general, because I find a lot of similarities between Iceland and Alaska. And I was monitoring their progress on issues that we have in common: limited resources, expensive electricity, distance from markets, all of the things that plague Alaska, Iceland has, and they've slowly been working on solving some of those. So I've kept an eye on them and paid attention. And more recently, I went to Iceland again and met with Thor Sigfusson at the Iceland Ocean Cluster, and I just got re-fired up about what the possibilities are. And I thought, man, we just have to have something like this in Alaska, because there are a lot of siloed organizations working and doing great jobs, but they're not necessarily working together, which means they're not necessarily problem solving the way that they could. And I thought, that's exactly the model we need to bring back to Alaska and see what we can do. So Karen Gillis at the Bering Sea Fishermen's Association and I have been friends for a long time, and I brought the idea to her. I said, here's a fantastic model that we should pursue. The Bering Sea Fishermen's Association took off with the idea and created the Alaska Ocean Cluster. And when my time with the state was up at the end of the governor's term, Karen asked me if I wanted to come work for the Ocean Cluster. So I said, yes, this is a great opportunity.
So Iceland sounds like it's leading edge in fish processing. Was there an event or an action that precipitated all this innovation?
One of the big things that they did is Iceland, as a country, actually reduced the overall fisheries quota by about half. Maybe it wasn't exactly half, but somewhere around half. And that was sort of a trigger to industry in Iceland that we need to do something to replace that revenue, or we're going to take a significant hit And they started looking at all the alternatives. So they focused on waste. What can we do to reduce waste? What can we do to tap not only markets, but unused resources in the ocean? So they basically doubled, they probably did even more than that, doubled the amount of revenue that they were making on the reduced amount of fish that they were allowed to harvest. And it's been pretty darn successful. I think they went from 65% utilization of each fish up to 90% in a relatively short amount of time. And now they're working to get up to 95% utilization.
So what is Iceland doing with this 25% of fish that Alaska is just throwing away?
Of course, you get standard food grade stuff. They're making fish leather, some really high quality fish skin leather. I think they're working on medicines and cosmetics and oils and using everything from fins. There's a couple of really cool products I saw. One was cufflinks, just some really nice quality silver cufflinks that had fish skin inlays in the cufflinks. They were very attractive. And the other really neat one was lampshades made out of cod skins. Really strange but cool looking lampshades that work really well. And there's a lot of those resources that we have today. We're in the same boat in Alaska with about 65% utilization rate of fisheries. So that means there's 35% sitting there that we're not using.
So what areas in the blue economy are you focusing on?
Well, in one of the areas that we're wanting to focus more on, it's mariculture. And I think for the state of Alaska, we want to work with the Mariculture Task Force that was started under Governor Walker and work directly with the Department of Fish and Game and probably the legislature to streamline the process, to smooth out permitting. I think the road there is still pretty bumpy and create opportunities.
Mariculture, which is ocean farming, more or less for our listeners. Can you give an example, like some of the stuff that can be done in ocean farming, let's say with seaweed? I mean, we've all heard of seaweed jellies, jams, seaweed and sushi, but are there products that seaweed is good for?
So you can also make paper out of seaweed. And there's an additional push in Europe to replace wood-based papers with other fibers. So that's an opportunity. And of course, adding more seaweed to the ocean creates a carbon sink, and it grows so quickly that you can sequester an enormous amount of carbon while you're farming it, basically.
If someone is interested in learning more about the ocean cluster, like what's a good way of engaging?
So you can go on the website, AlaskaOceanCluster.com, and under the programs tab, there's a sign up for a weekly reminder, and that will also link you to our weekly Ocean Tuesday Zoom event where you can sign in and participate with lots of other Alaskans and other people around the country. You can also go to Alaska Ocean Cluster on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter and find out more information there as well.
One of the opportunities the Alaska Ocean Cluster created is the Blue Pipeline Incubator. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the Blue Pipeline is the Alaska Ocean Cluster's business incubator. We have one that's operating in Seward right now, and it works to find investment for new businesses and connects the entrepreneurs with really anyone in the business community that they need to advance their business plan. It helps with business planning. And we can help with permitting and really anything that the new business needs to get up and be successful.
That sounds fantastic. What would be the number one reason that an entrepreneur would want to go through the incubator program?
Well, probably the biggest thing was investment. It's the opportunity for new and even some existing businesses that need some help or want some help or exposure to come work with us. So we're partnered with the SBDC, with the Seward Chamber of Commerce, and with the City of Seward to create a position in Seward that helps entrepreneurs. I think about $1.4 or $1.5 million committed, and there's more money that's coming over the next few weeks, we think, that could get that number up to somewhere between $2.5 and $3 million.
If I'm interested in being incubated.
If you're interested, the best thing to do would be to get a hold of Justin Sternberg. He's our Blue Pipeline manager in Seward. That's justin.sternberg at bluepipeline.com.
Thank you, Craig. I really appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Do you enjoy this podcast? If so, go to accelerateak.com to find out how you can contribute, volunteer, or even bring an Accelerate conference to your town. accelerateak.com. This has been an Accelerate LLC production. The future is already here if you know where to look.